There are certain principles in life that we all know and that we all depend upon every day. The law of gravity. We depend upon Newton's first law, you know, the law of inertia. Newton's third law of, you know, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. And we know that if we didn't have these physical laws in place, it would just, you know, it'd be chaos. It would just be wild. You know, things would be just, you know, kind of floating around and moving around by themselves. And you know, it's like I think about that when I'm driving over a bridge and or flying in a plane. You know, I trust the physical laws. I trust science. I trust engineering. But when it comes to my happiness, when it comes to my sense of well-being, and my sense of purpose and meaning and value and worth and dignity of myself and of other people, and how to best navigate my life in this way, I trust there are spiritual laws of the universe as well, and I trust these. So it's in this light that we take a look at our three scripture passages that we have, and we've got them in the inserts in your bulletins. I'm going to read these because I have there's a little bit of commentary with a couple of them as I'm reading. And they give us some wonderful spiritual principles that help us build and navigate a fabulous life. Okay. The first is from the Gospel of Luke, and it says that Jesus answered them, and he said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact," he says, "the kingdom of God is within you." And what you see in this passage, as I've written it out, is that I put an asterisk by, you know, there's within slash among, and sometimes that word is translated as among, but in the original Greek, actually, the word is pronounced as entos, and it means within or inside, or the inside. And it's a pretty powerful statement that he makes there. Kingdom of God is within you. The next passage, second passage, is also from the Gospel of Luke. It's one that I think about a lot in my life. I call upon it. And it's he says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And knock and it will be opened to you." And then we have our third passage. And this is one that is, it doesn't happen a lot, but this one is, these particular words are word for word repeated in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They have a little bit different words in the beginning and end, but these particular words, word for word. And Jesus says, "The measure you give will be the measure you get back." So may God bless our understanding, our living of these wonderful words for abundant life. Okay. Amen. All right, so we're going to begin with a little, very, very simple exercise, and that is this. I want you to, each one of you, just point to yourself. Okay, just point to yourself. Okay, now stay there, right, and look around and just notice where people are pointing, right? You look at every person, and where are we pointing, right? Everybody, when you say point to yourself, we point here. We point to our heart, which is really the seat of our soul. You can stop pointing them. Right? Fascinating, right? When you say, you know, point to yourself, you don't go here, to my head. You don't go here, you know, my beautiful face or my, you know, strong arms or legs or anything like that. But it's interesting, isn't it, you know, that we just kind of take it for granted that we point to our heart. And the thing is, the interesting thing is that I think that, you know, as human beings, Even though we may not consciously think about it or be aware of it, unconsciously anyway, we identify with our soul. We're drawn to our heart. We're drawn to the hearts of others. Another thing is that when, you know, you think about when you're talking to another person, and especially when it's personal, where do you look? You look in the eyes, right? And the eyes, it's been said, are the windows to your soul. That's very true. You can see a lot. Sometimes you can see too much, and so people want to kind of avert their gaze a little bit. But, you know, we're drawn as human beings, whether people think that they're religious or not, we're drawn to the soul. You know? That's where we feel the real, authentic person is with the soul. And I've got to say, you know, I think about this and I have some conversations, is that in church, I think one of the you know, restorative aspects of the church and why it's just kind of a relief, you know, people say, you know, talk about how they feel and just, you know, and kids, a lot of times, kids will describe church as a safe place. That's actually, interestingly, that's the first word that they use, is they'll always say, and it always kind of surprises me for some reason, they say, you know, I feel safe. And I think, what is that? And I think that part of that is that this is one place in the world where you can just come and you can be a soul. You know? It's not a competitive place. It's not a place where, you know, it's not, you know, academic competition. It's not, you know, we don't come here to be, you know, business alliances or political adversaries or anything like that. You don't have to be somebody. You don't have to be anybody important except soul. And you don't even have to be the best mom or dad in Fairfield, you know. You can just be. Just be a caring person, be a spiritual person. Be who you really are, this, and just let that shine. Which is interesting because back in the, so in about the early 1600s, early to mid 1600s, we all know someone who said something that really caught on, and that's René Descartes, right? And René Descartes, as we know, said, who knows?
I think, therefore
I am, right? Really caught on. Spiritually, though, the scriptures, and we even know this intuitively, we know that he actually got it backwards. I am, therefore I think. I am, therefore I do. I am, therefore I have. We know that our worth and our identity, it doesn't come from here, really. Our worth comes from here, being a human being. And so this addresses the question of who are you? Even though it's interesting that in society, a lot of times who we define ourselves to be has to do with what we do, right? You know, who are you? You can say, who are you? You know, I'm a businessman. Who are you? I'm a lawyer, I'm an engineer, whatever. So sometimes we define ourselves in terms of our accomplishments. Sometimes we define ourselves in terms of what we have or what we don't have, right? The 1% or the 99%, right? Sometimes when we age, we focus on what we can't do any longer, you know. When we're young, sometimes we focus on what we can do. And actually, you know, when you look at it with aging, there's an interesting thing in our society in terms of, you know, what society values. When someone gets to a point where they can't do much, what do we call them? An invalid, right? An invalid. So invalid. That's a really low blow, right? So you can't do, so now you're not a valid human being anymore. And we go, you know, spiritually we know that there's something really wrong with that. So to this end, obviously we turn to this, you know, spiritual source, and it's fascinating, and it's no coincidence that, you know, the only time that God ever self-identified in terms of a name is at one point when God's, you know, communicating with Moses somehow. God says, "My name is
I am.
My name is I am." It's kind of beyond brilliant. And then when pushed to further clarify that, the only thing more that you get is, "I am what I am. I am what I am," right? Sticking with soul, sticking with essence, sticking with spirit. Now, in the creation story that even precedes that, what we're told is that as human beings, is that we're created in the image of God, right? So that we have God within us. And it's not a, you know, physical likeness, but it's this soul, it's this spiritual likeness. And even the term human beings, you know, when you think of that in comparison with I am, you take I am, you put it in the causative, and it becomes to be. Right? So that's why we're human beings. Right? And that we're not human doings. Or human havings, or anything like that. Created in God's image as I am, as souls. So why do we spend so much focus on this? The reason why is because the more we can grasp this, the more we can just download this into, you know, a cellular level of our being, that the kingdom of God is within us, the more dramatically our life will change in terms of happiness, satisfaction, and having a fabulous life, realizing who we are, who I am, realizing who you are, and then treating you and you treating each other as that. And as far as that goes, you know, another interesting thing that Jesus said along these lines is he says, you know, "I'm in my Father's in me, I'm in you." So it's this, you know, same message being repeated in so many different ways. When we embody this understanding, it changes our perspective into more God's perspective. It changes how we perceive aging, how we perceive loss, winning, losing, and you know, another thing to think about is, you know, you think about yourself as that even though your body's changed, think about yourself as when you were 3 years old. Were you still you? Right? Your body is completely different. You know things now that you had no clue of. You didn't have any education. You didn't have any accomplishments. You didn't have any of those things, and yet you were still you. Even though all those things have changed, and yet what's resided is your soul. And when you become really in touch with that, you realize that we are eternal. The soul can't be destroyed. We realize that we're complete. Just as we were totally complete human beings at 3 years old, perfectly satisfied, we're complete. The kingdom of God is within. So sometimes people, you know, ask, you know, "Well, I don't know, I can't find God. Where is God? You know, has God abandoned me? I don't quite get this understanding." If ever disconnected, you may feel, it might be a better question to ask because of this. What am I doing? Am I doing something where I'm ignoring God? Because God's here, right? It's not like God goes anywhere or anything like that. Am I missing something? How am I missing this presence within me? Am I paying too much attention with the wants, you know, with my wants of this world? Am I too busy getting caught up in stuff about, you know, maybe I'm not treating others like an incarnation of God? Maybe I need to remember that. And when I am, just, you know, when you do, notice how you feel. Notice how that changes things. Am I not paying attention to my own soul or to others? So another little exercise along these lines to get back to this is just take a moment and remember. Go back to some moments in your life and just remember, when have you experienced the greatest, you know, sometime or many times, you know, when you've just experienced just pure, wonderful, totally very inclusive love, right? And just how you feel. We've all felt that. Remember the sensations that you felt when you've been very kind and it just flowed out of you. Remember how you felt when you were just naturally forgiving for some reason, right? When you were just so happy that you were just beaming, when you were so open and so free and so comfortable with yourself, when you were just incredibly generous, how did that feel? When it was just so natural, right? When you were so compassionate. Those are, as you already know, those are the times when your soul is most aligned with God, when you're recognizing. When you feel that way, right, that's the kingdom of God within you. And so people tend to want more of that. And so that's why it's healthy to pay attention to go, if that feels that good, what am I doing maybe to ignore that? And try to, instead of trying to achieve something, maybe try to, you know, wipe out those things that hinder you from that. Now, the opposite of that is kind of what Laura was talking to the kids about, right? Living the qualities of God. And when you take the opposite, you live that, and your soul shines. So that's just some meaning behind the scripture passage, the first scripture passage, when Jesus said the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, there it is. But in fact, the kingdom of God is within you. So commit to that, which is wonderful, and you know what? You have a wonderful life. So principle number two, this leads us to, which is what you look for is what you're going to find. So it says in scriptures, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be open. Principle number two, we find what we look for. Now, if you look for cynicism in life, that's what you find. If you believe that most people are screwed up, out to get you, liars, cheats, hypocrites, that is what you're going to tend to find. On the other hand, if you're looking for love, if you're looking for kindness, if you're looking for opportunities to love, if you're committed to creating that sense, not just kind of sitting back and waiting for it to happen, but you create it, that's what you're going to find. So there's a man that a lot of people know, Wayne Dyer, who's a, you know, he has since died, you know, a couple years ago. He was a psychologist, nationally known speaker, author, great self-promoter. He wasn't always the deepest man. He wasn't always the wisest man, you know. But I think that he grew a lot in the later years in his life. And he told a story. I was at a retreat one time, and he was a speaker. And he told this true story that kind of stuck with me. And that was one day he was in California and he had just finished a speaking engagement. And a person came up to him and said, you know, Wayne, I know you're from the Northeast and I'm going to be moving there and soon. And I'm just wondering, what are the people like there? Right? And interestingly, he said, well, tell me, what are the people like where you live? Where you're from. And the person said, oh my God, I can't wait to get out of there. They are pushy and arrogant and competitive and friendly. And he goes, well, I think that that's exactly what you're going to find. you go. Next day, he's walking on the beach, and somebody recognized him. And this is the funny part, which makes it a great story. Somebody recognized him. They say, "Are you Wayne Dyer?" And he says, "Yes, I am." And really, the same conversation, which was fascinating. And person moving to the Northeast, person, it was actually from the same area, not the exact same town, but the same area where the other person was from. And same question, said, "I'm moving, what are people like there?" And so Wayne goes, "Well, what are people like where you're from?" And she says, "I'm just going to really miss them. They're fabulous people. They're so warm and authentic and, great friends." And he says, "I think that that's exactly what you're going to find." We find what we look for. And there's a great phrase that also sticks with me that says, "Wherever you go, there you are." Right? You just take it all with you wherever you go. We create the environment that's inside of ourselves. So we do want to be very careful about what's inside of ourselves. Have you ever noticed that some people always have a complaint? Some people always have a problem. Some people always have a grudge or an issue. And then other people always somehow see the beauty and see the possibility to solve problems and have strength and presence and calm and joy. You find what you're looking for, good or bad. And along those lines, ask God for help. If you notice that maybe there's stuff inside of you that you would like to change, ask God for help. Ask, seek, knock, again and again. Which leads us to the third spiritual principle for a fabulous life, which is you reap what you sow. And I want to be crystal clear about a couple things. I'm not talking about physical illness. I'm not talking about length of life. I'm not talking about truly being a victim, assault, racism, sexual inappropriateness. No. But internally, as we go through life, you reap what you sow. The measure you give is the measure you get. Now, I say that, and I know that to some people it sounds kind of nasty. It can sound like a threat. But think about that. If it sounds threatening, there might be some things that you want to think about that's going on inside of your heart. Because that statement can be equally understood as, "Oh my God, are you serious? The measure you give is the measure you get? Where do I sign up for that? Thank you, God. What a fantastic opportunity. You mean I have control over that? Wow." And it's actually stating what this is stating is Newton's third law in spiritual terms of for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It's impossible physically to project any energy without, at the very same time, that same energy with the same force just coming back immediately right back at you. It's impossible to project anger, disgust, judgment, criticism, and not have that immediately right back with you. You can't be angry at other people. It's impossible and be happy yourself. Even if they deserve it, you get to choose. Because the question is, do you deserve that? You can't hold grudges. Even if you have every right to, but you can't hold a grudge and hold happiness at the same time. Physically impossible. Equal and opposite reaction. You want a life that's loving, happy, patient, forgiving, just, honest? Or do you want a life that's hard-nosed, deceitful, critical? You get to decide. That's an awesome gift. Awesome gift, what you want to give. You want to have love? Give love. You seek joy? Give joy. Create joy around you for others. You seek fulfillment and meaning? Do something meaningful, right? Change a life in some way, any way, for the good. I talk to people sometimes like, you know, I don't know about my purpose and, you know, I want meaning. It's like, well, how about, you know, what are you doing? What can you do? Well, I can't do that. I can't do that. You want good friendships? Be a good friend. And finally, although you can't give what you don't have, the final piece of good news is you have it. It's you. You can't get away from it. You are it. You are it. And you just get to choose how much you'd like to live it and share it. These four spiritual principles for a fabulous life. God bless you.
Dear God, we gather here today in your loving spirit and in the spirit of love. We are your family. We are your people, your gathering of faithful people, here to live out your purposes. Sometimes, though, God, we struggle with what it means to be a people of faith. The doctrines restrict us. The words can confuse us. And sometimes the actions evade us. But you keep calling us anyways, loving us through our struggles, reminding us to unbind ourselves from our heads and to base our thoughts and words and actions on your ways, not on the world's ways. Because we are your people, God. Your family, your gathering of hopeful people here to live out your purposes. And sometimes, though, God, we struggle. We struggle with what it means to be a people of hope. We are at the same time so blessed and so broken. And sometimes we lose sight of you in our hopelessness. So remind us that you are there in the midst of our struggles. You are here to affirm us in our goodness and to lovingly hold us in our brokenness. And you tell us over and over that we are nothing less than the blessed and beautiful people you created us to be, while affirming and nudging us to trust in your hope and to grow and become better along the way. We are your people, God, your family, your gathering of loving people, here to live out your purposes. Sometimes, though, God, we struggle with what it means to be a people of love. And sometimes, instead of looking to you to define what love does, we become bound up with political ideals, with predetermined concepts of right and wrong, instead of determining concepts of loving and unloving. So when we are faced with self-interest and selfish desire, when our actions might lead us to go in a direction of fair for some but not for most, good but not for most, easy for us, but hard for others. Help us to hear your still small voice asking us, what would love do? And then give us the inner strength and power and will to listen and to hear and to act. Because faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen.